League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
This was a week we needed a Tuesday night show just based on the timing of Lionel Messi and everything else. But, hey, here we are on Thursday. Beautiful night. Welcome into Soccer Matters. As always, a lot to dig into. We got a lot of messy observation, a lot of thoughts on what the potential effect is on Major League Soccer. We're going to go to Miami Herald longtime writer Michelle Kaufman from South Florida. Not the best advertisement last night for MLS in the nation's capital in the All-Star game, losing 5-0 to Arsenal. We'll talk about that. Does it matter? Does it matter to you? 713-780-3776. Show, as always, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. So I say, listen, when you're putting your league on display, and as we heard repeatedly on the Apple broadcast, we are going out all over the world, and that's a part of the beauty of the Apple deal is that, you know, Major League Soccer's in countries all over the world. But that was not a great intro for a lot of people to see the void and the gap. And there's a lot of ways you can position this. You just wish that didn't happen. That's all I would say. And a lot of times, the big moment, you can't live up to it. I think what we take away is this was pretty much an Arsenal preseason unveiling. We'll talk a lot about this tonight. But Arsenal looked great, obviously, and we're streaming ESPN975.com. I got tickets to give away tonight. I got Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining me. This is 30 minutes of content tonight. A lot of different things we go over in this. So if you're a Houston Dynamo fan, this is for you. And we get the Dynamo GM on a lot because I want you to hear it directly from him through my line of questioning. We're grateful for Pat coming on, and also Michelle. Michelle I've known for a long time as far as being a beat writer all the way back to the Miami Fusion. And she's got some great stories from telling you that she was the only journalist out at practices covering the team to now where over 200 journalists were at the opening practice of Lionel Messi in South Florida, and there was 400 applications for credentials. So know this right now off the top. You got outlets that are actually moving people to Miami to cover Inter Miami and Lionel Messi in this whole journey. So we'll get into that tonight. We're going to talk a lot about Coco Carrasquilla, the differences of what he did with Panama and how he's asked to do some things differently with the Dynamo. And, of course, the whole transfer situation with Coco, who wins the gold ball. That is an incredible achievement. Had an outstanding tournament for Panama. You could see the difference in the way he plays with Panama, what's expected in the role that he plays for Panama as opposed to the Dynamo now. And a lot of that has to do with Hector Herrera and Artur, but we'll get into that. Call in number right now, take the risk, get on the air, as opposed to just Twitter. It's 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. After all, you know, you want to watch soccer teams that take risk, right? Well, I want some callers to take a bit of risk tonight. You're allowed to disagree with the opinion of the host, which is moi, because we all have opinions. And that's the beauty of Soccer Talk Radio, 713-780-3776. So, All-Star game last night, I'll throw this out there. Is this do any damage to the MLS product? Is it something, you know, there's a lot of great things going on. Let's first say that, you know, so all the PR, going to the White House, soccer, tennis on the, you know, on the mall right there, the National Mall. Now, Wayne Rooney comes out today and was not very happy about the way he had to work with his team. And he basically said, I just threw the players out on the field. We didn't have a proper training session. Let me just go to Andrew and AC, let me get your thoughts on the overall perspective of it. I don't want you to wear your Arsenal hat, though, when you give it to me.
I don't think it's an overly bad look for MLS just because of the circumstances that you mentioned where, look, the players are thrown together somewhat haphazardly, and Wayne Rooney, as the manager of the team, has to do the best with whatever he can to fit these not well-shaped parts together to form a cohesive team, which just isn't really possible to do in 2 or 3 days. And to do that and you go up against...
Hey, tell me something I don't know. No, all know this stuff. Yeah. We all know this. This is a one-off game. It's a mixed team against a Premier League team that knows each other, even though they're in short-term into preseason, right? I mean, what are they together? 9 days? And they're integrating some new guys.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a 5-0 scoreline to people that do not follow MLS, that are watching from around the world. I can't see this as something good.
Yeah, if you don't have any idea of the context of the game, then obviously you're going to look at it and say the MLS is so far behind these better leagues all across Europe that you don't see how there's any level of competition whatsoever. That's how you would look at it if you don't have any of the context that I just mentioned earlier.
All right, perfect. And that's a very good answer. Let's go to Arsenal, the 1-0 lead. Gabriel Jesus, I think he banks this off the far post. A little chip, that's a gorgeous goal.
Saka into space, Barial chasing. Trossard in the middle, and Kepa as well, makes its way to Jesus, chipping into the back post. Oh, and then Gabriel Jesus! What a goal to open the scoring in the All-Star game!
So 5 different goal scorers, including Trossard, Martinelli, Kai Havertz, the new signing. Here's Wayne Rooney. This is soundbite number 15 on what he was able to take from the game.
Absolutely nothing. So no, it's difficult. As I said, that on Monday the players all arrived and basically done a small side of the game. On Tuesday, as I suggested, I didn't want them to train at the National Mall, but that's where we trained, and we can't do anything. So all we were limited to do head tennis, so literally had no time to do any tactics whatsoever. So you put the players out there and hope that they can figure things out. And against a team like Arsenal, that's very difficult to do.
Arsenal looked pretty sharp for a team that's at this stage of a preseason in the Premier League. Let's go back to soundbite 14. This is Rooney talking about the event for the fans, but yeah, there's a little bit of a nudge here on the MLS players.
It's a good event. It's traditionally a big event over here, and I think the difficulty you have is obviously the players coming in from different places, and you have no time with them to do anything, and so you try and make it a bit of fun and try and let the players have a good experience. And of course it's great for some players to play against some top players, but also I think some personal pride needs to come into it as well, and you want to try and do well and not let the score be as it was tonight. So it's great to be a part of, great to be involved in, but ultimately all the events around the game are great, but once you get into the pitch, of course you want to do better than what we've done tonight.
Yeah, I agree with them 100%. You're out there with a Premier League team. I'm not saying people didn't put an effort in, but I think the pedal was dropped by some of the players, basically. It was a big party. It's a big party, and then all of a sudden you're told, hey, you got to compete here with Arsenal. Now, if you looked at Arteta, you did not see a man that did not look serious the entire night. I didn't see that guy crack a smile, Andrew.
Oh, he very rarely does in these sort of moments. He only cracks a smile after the game is over, after it's already well in hand. I mean, that's just who he is. He's an incredibly serious manager, and there's almost a reason why he wanted them to play the MLS in this game, Glenn. They did it in their last preseason fixtures as well. He wants to have a team in Arsenal playing another team that's already in the middle of their season, so the level of physicality is up. The level of sharpness from the other team is supposed to be up. So that way his team, in theory, is coming up against a more physical and ready opposition than they would against somebody else who's already in their preseason preparations as well.
Yeah, here's what else we learned. It was a bad advertisement. It didn't coincide with all the excitement about Lionel Messi. It was a bad night. Sorry. That's the way it goes. I mean, sometimes you set these things up, they work out perfectly. Sometimes they don't. Remember when the MLS All-Stars got smacked in Houston 7-1? Now, I would also say that was a spectacular night based on the timing of that. I think that was back in, I don't know what year it was, but it was quite a ways back. It's over 10, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. But the statement that night was about 70,000 people at the game at Energy Stadium. But there's always comparisons are made. Sometimes you live up to the moment when the curtain drops and it's a real opportunity, and sometimes you don't. And you know what? For those that were going to watch Lionel Messi anyway, they're going to continue to do that. Wayne Rooney did not get the memo, though, when it comes to, hey, you better keep it all glowing and nice, which I thought was kind of interesting. It was refreshing how honest I think he was. And I think, you know, we got a lot of coverage of the game in this country that doesn't get into honesty as much. It's more about party line and, you know, everything's beautiful. If everything is beautiful, it's not going to be fun to watch. Everything shouldn't be beautiful. Every locker room shouldn't be beautiful. Every question shouldn't be a lob. You know, this is what makes it interesting. I would have loved to have heard commentators talking about the fact that, you know, the scoreline. I mean, is this good or bad for MLS right now? I think we know the answer, but, you know, let's get into some reality sometimes. But all in all, I think most people had a great time. I will also say this. It's a pro-Arsenal crowd. I mean, all I saw were red jerseys based on what I saw on TV.
Yeah, that was the thing that maybe stuck out the most, even versus like what you saw in the field, Glenn, was the fact that I understand that it's Arsenal's preseason tour. They have a lot of fans in America, so they're going to want to come out. And they came out and drove to support the club. But the fact that I didn't see a single MLS jersey out in that crowd.
Now, we know there were some, but yeah, based on the TV broadcast, I mean, it just looked red, 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 and Arsenal, 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 and they made promising signings. They all got a debut here. Kai Havertz, Declan Rice, Jurrien Timber. I'll tell you what, let's keep an eye on him this year, and that's maybe the least known of the three. No, keep an eye on him. Five different goal scorers. And here's the other thing. Only one shot on goal for, you know, if you score a goal or two and you get behind Arsenal and you get a goal or two and it's 5-2, everybody walks away, you know. But, oh, well. It happened. It's over. That's okay. We'll give you one more goal call. How about Kai Havertz's first for Arsenal? That made it 5.
Marquinhos. Havertz! A fifth for Arsenal. This matches the record for goals scored by an international club opponent against the MLS All-Stars.
ESPN 5-0,
a show tonight from the Gunners.
All right, so let's go to our tennis. Soundbite 20, and this is kind of to Andrew's point earlier about the competitive and physical nature of getting an MLS group that's in the midst of their season.
No, I want a competitive as I possibly can, and as well for those players, we plan to play 45 minutes. In the next few games, we will build the minutes for them as well. But yeah, it was an opposition. Obviously, we knew that in the middle of the season, they are really fit at the moment. We suffer in certain moments with the heat and the conditions and to adapt to the pitch as well. But it's part of the process in precision, you know, to adapt to different conditions and find a way to play well and win the game.
So, man means business. I mean, what a turnaround at Arsenal. Aubameyang, by the way, got transferred today. And, you know, when Guillermo mentioned that to me, it just kind of reminded me of the turnover and the movement of talented players, but maybe not the guys with the right makeup internally, character-wise, for Arteta. I guess he's going to Marseille now.
That's amazing how much change there has been at that club in such a short amount of time. He was the talisman of Arsenal not even 3 years ago, Glenn. Like, he was, people were begging him, myself included, to sign the contract, extend your stay. And to go from that to where we are now, and especially in the space of time that we have seen this, that club transform, I honestly cannot imagine a more drastic change and a more incredible job that a manager could have done than what Arteta's done with the club.
Thankfully, they waited. They did not, you know, there's a lot of clamoring around, but they gave him the time to turn it around. I wish more clubs would do that because I just think it's, you know, a lot of these managers are on such a short leash. It's pretty unbelievable. I heard something about Houston and Miami, and I'll quickly just make this point before we go to break. Houston and Miami are very similar in that Miami has tons of Argentines, Colombians, South Americans. They love soccer. They come out for the big content. They come out for the international games. Up until now, they have not really come out as much as you would like for Inter Miami in recent times. It's very similar to Houston. There are two markets that the MLS product has never really hooked in as deep as it could, except in the early years with the Dynamo. And there was a little bit of a novelty to that, the return of professional soccer. We inherited the best team. We had a bunch of great guys who were out in the community, had a coach that was into it. So just kind of it's an interesting comparison because both the markets a lot of times gets, oh, it's not a good soccer market, Miami. That's BS. Houston, it's not a good soccer market. That's BS. All right. Show me it's a good soccer market right now because I got a pair of tickets. Houston Dynamo Santos Leagues Cup. It begins tomorrow. We'll have the coverage of the Dynamo at Orlando tomorrow. Caller number five right now at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number five, a pair of tickets, Dynamo Santos Laguna. That will be next Tuesday night.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
La jugada de Edson. La jugada de Álvarez. Y después van a buscar a Santi. Atención con la contra. Santi arranca. Y esta es. Santi para mano. Sí, Santi. Sí, Santi.
I'm going to applaud that. That's one hell of a goal call right there. Producer Andrew Carlson has let Guillermo Lazo Romero jump in here. He's got a Mexico jersey on here tonight. Mexico wins the Gold Cup, and that's big for Jaime Lozano, and he has not yet been named the coach. We'll see if that happens. Santi Jimenez, who's getting these bits and pieces, comes in, turns a Panamanian center back, goes straight to goal and finishes. He ended up fourth in the Dutch Eredivisie with Feyenoord in goal scoring. By the way, he is the son of Chaco Jimenez, for those who remember. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com. A quick word here for Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10. Marquee Entertainment Center, get into Hugh O'Connor's Pub. They got an incredible whiskey offering. All kinds of beer. If you want a real pub feel, you want to watch the FIFA Women's World Cup, that's a place to go. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, and our team of the week is, well, we're going to give it to, in the FIFA Women's World Cup right now, going on in Australia and New Zealand, we're going to give New Zealand the team of the week brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's Pub. In their 16th World Cup match, they finally won. They got a 1-0 win over Norway. Hannah Wilkinson got the goal, and the reason I remember Hannah Wilkinson is because I covered a couple of her college games when she was at Tennessee. So that's a big one. The U.S. women will get underway at 8 o'clock Central Time against Vietnam. I think we can probably predict a score line there. I don't know. It reminds me of that Thailand match in the last World Cup, which created a lot of controversy. Let's see. But their second match will be against the Netherlands, and that's a repeat of the last World Cup final. World Cup has been going on since 91 for the women. The U.S. have won close to 50% of these World Cups, right? Early years, remember, the rest of the world was not playing women's sports to the extent it is now. And now we've seen these countries like Brazil, the Netherlands, on and on, that have incredible soccer cultures that have adopted and invested in the women's game. So, you know, those early years, I mean, the hats go off to, you know, the 99ers for the U.S. and all them, because they really helped knowingly, unknowingly, both to show women around the world and to show federations around the world that women's soccer was a really good, viable option, a spectacular sport, played at a great level. It's grown athletically. It's grown tactically since those years. So, you know, you got to remember those pioneering years were very important for the sport. And the U.S. women at that time had a big, big, big part in that. And back in those days, you know, there's only a handful of teams around the world taking the women's game seriously. And that's not taking anything away from anything. The ones that did were highly competitive, and there were some great games, including that final in 99 when the U.S. won the World Cup in front of a packed Rose Bowl crowd. All right. So the U.S. women, their first match coming up 8 o'clock against Vietnam. They will then take on the Netherlands in their second group game. And in their third group game, it will be Portugal. Okay? Now, let's talk about Messi and friends in South Florida. And before we do, I do have to remind you, because we are talking international soccer, we're talking FIFA Women's World Cup. On Wednesday, we got the big one here, Manchester United and Real Madrid, right here in Houston. Another big piece of content. There are going to be people coming into our city, much like the 2026 World Cup, to see this game. It's destination. You can guarantee yourself last night when Arsenal's playing in the nation's capital that there are people that have flown over from London, from England, supporters from all over the world that have come there to combine a vacation with seeing their team and some of their new signings, right? Like Kai Havertz. So same thing is going to occur Wednesday night. You're going to have Manchester United fans, people from the city of Manchester here, people from all over the world. Same thing with Real Madrid. You'll have people from Madrid, but you'll also have people that are Real Madrid fans from all over the U.S. coming in. It's destination. We blow these games out of the water here. I mean, I think there's already 55,000 out. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster. You can get them at LSSE.net, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. That's where our good friend David Fletcher and company helped to put this game together, doing a great job over there, as usual, continuing the legacy of great international soccer content. So again, it's Wednesday. It's Real Madrid and Manchester United. It's one not to miss. And there's new signings for both teams. We're going to get into that in a little bit. Andre Onana is one of them, right in goal for Manchester United. Mason Mount, who they acquired from Chelsea. There's still talks going on with Rasmus Højlund. He's a Dane. You're going to see guys like Alejandro Garnacho, who may have a bigger role this year. Real Madrid's got Arda Güler, the 18-year-old from Fenerbahce. You got to see this kid play. I mean, this kid, I watch some Turkish football because I got friends over there. And he's an 18-year-old that is at Real Madrid. And I'm really interested to see how he gets out of the blocks and if he can really carve out some playing time this year as an 18-year-old. It's going to be fantastic. But you've got all those newbies, and then you got the regulars, the guys you all know, the Luka Modrics, the Marcus Rashfords, name after name after name, Carvajal. We can go on, right? But we got to talk Messi. So let's talk Messi. But anyway, that's Wednesday. Ticketmaster, LSSE.net. I'm going to give away a pair of tickets tonight to Real Madrid, Manchester United. Okay? All right. So, Lionel Messi, this has been pretty unbelievable. It's been remarkable just to kind of just watch all these things just come into motion. They've been chasing him since 2019, the Moss brothers, and really Jorge Moss. You got David Beckham there. David Beckham partners with Moss. Beckham got thrown the Miami franchise at a cut-rate price. I think it was like 20 million, maybe 25, something like that. This was a stroke of genius from Don Garber in Major League Soccer, because at that cheap price, and I know you're going, well, 20 million is a lot of money, not based on the valuation of these franchises right now, to throw him that, you also now have the Beckham brand constantly, right? He's in Miami all the time. He's around their games. He's trying to grow the team. Some people call it Golden Balls FC, whatever. Okay. Inter Miami now has just remarkably jumped in so many categories since the signing of Lionel Messi. You got people calling it Messi and friends. Sergio Busquets is coming now. Jordi Alba. You're going, oh, MLS is bending the rules. It's possible. But my understanding is also that these guys are coming not for the money. They're coming here because they're all friends. They want to play on the same team. They want to compete in Major League Soccer. They want to try to turn this thing around. Luis Suarez is another one that's being potentially mentioned. But my understanding, these guys are coming in at a real cut rate price. Messi is not. But Busquets, Alba, these guys must have enough money right now. And they're probably, it's not cheap money based on the wages, certainly I earned, that these guys are coming here to play for. It's getting worldwide attention. The big piece, okay, well, so let me just talk about some of the data. More followers on Instagram right now, Inter Miami, who nobody heard of before, okay, than any MLS, any MLB or NFL team. More followers on Instagram. Happened in a New York Minute. Adidas can't print the shirts fast enough. Can't print them fast enough. They're selling them like crazy. Jorge Mas, speaking on behalf of the business side for the club, he says the franchise's valuation is going to double over the course of the year. It's currently listed at $600 million. So he's talking $1.3 billion to $1.5 billion, if we want to believe that. There are painters flying in from Argentina to paint murals on buildings. Now, remember, there's quite a nice Argentine population in the Miami area, as well as a lot of Colombians. A lot of South Americans. There's Peruvians there. Unabashedly, Jorge Mas and this club are going after the Latino-Hispanic crowd. They have made it very clear. That's the fans they want. Now, most of these are going to be really authentic fans. It's not a lot of talk about the American fan. They'll carry on. They'll be a part of it. But the makeup of the team is dedicated to the diversity of the city when it comes to Latin, Hispanic, whatever you want to call it, soccer fans that are from South America mainly. So, pretty amazing. What I love about this signing, now, there was always talk Cristiano Ronaldo was going to come. Remember that? We got the better out of the two guys. I'll scream this from the mountaintops, even though we have no mountains in Houston. We got the better of the two guys. We got the guy now that is going to be the uniqueness when it comes to the word humility. We have an athlete that we're propping up now that is just looks like an ordinary guy, acts, behaves like that, made a decision based on his family to come to America. Right now, I know Don Garber, and you got to put the line out there that, well, he chose our league over everybody. Well, yeah, he did, technically. He did, but he chose the American lifestyle over Saudi Arabia. And more money, by the way. Okay? More money. So the humility of the man is something that's so appealing to me, because the humble athlete, the effortless athlete, the one that isn't pounding his chest, the one that isn't taking pictures of his abs constantly. I think this is what drives Cristiano Ronaldo crazy, because this guy doesn't have to make an effort to do any of this. Whereas, you know, he's now shouting from the mountaintops because he can't stand it. You know, that MLS is not as good as the Saudi Arabian League. And, he opened the door for all the other foreigners that are now coming, like Jordan Henderson. By the way, he's going to take stick from Liverpool fans. I guarantee you that. But he opened the door. Now, something tells me as I sit here and I think about Ronaldo and what he has done to his career, and we look at Messi and Ronaldo, who, by the way, both needed each other. They were the, if I put it in American terms, it was kind of Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, right? Both of them played off each other. But if we look at the way two guys are descending into the ends of their careers, boy, one guy got it right and the other guy made a mess of it ever since that Piers Morgan interview, ditched his agent, looked like, you know, a kid throwing his toys out of a sandbox. And by the way, I'm not disrespecting this man for a second based on competition, the type of player he was, his unbelievable burning competitive desire, Cristiano Ronaldo. But I got news for you. I'm taking the humble guy, the family man, over that guy any day of the week. Any day of the week. So Messi signed through 2025. Yeah, so back to what I was about to say about Cristiano Ronaldo. When he's signing his contract, I'm sure he was sitting there going, hey, this is great. I can help Jordan Henderson get a lot of money down here. I'm going to open the door for all my friends to come to Saudi Arabia. Yeah, I'm sure that happened. Please. Please. So Messi's moving the masses. If I put it in country terms, it's Willie Nelson and family, right? It's Messi and friends. Tata Martino's the coach. This thing's falling into place here. It's going to be interesting to watch this whole thing. Now, he could potentially debut tomorrow against Cruz Azul. They're saying he's going to. I don't know. Apparently, in that game, the tickets are up to $1,300 a ticket. Okay, I will not be going there. I might be able to pull a credential. I don't know. I don't know if I got clout anymore. I used to have clout. I think I have clout. Somebody thinks I have clout somewhere. If there is somebody, tell me. So this is pretty amazing. So the Messi effect is full out. It's full out. It's affecting a lot of different things. It is going to be very interesting to watch. And if you got a thought on it, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. For Lionel Messi, would love to get your take on it. So we'll come back. I'm going to play a little Jorge Mas, audio, some Beckham audio on Lionel Messi. We're going to go to break right now. I'm going to remind you of our great friends at Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture and Jan Christensen. Big thanks to Hugh O'Connors. Cactus. Thank Cactus very much. Cactus supporting us, our good friends at Cactus Music. All right, so we're going to do another pair of tickets right now, but this time we're going to flip it, and I'm expecting the boards to light up here big time. 713-780-3776 on behalf of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, Daspit Law Firm, and our great friends at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, David Fletcher. Caller number 7. We're going to go 7 because I'm thinking there's going to be more. It's Real Madrid, Manchester United, pair of tickets, caller 7. 713-780-3776.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Since we met with David, you know, myself, my brother Jose, and we had a vision. We had a vision to bring the best players in the world to Inter Miami, to bring them to Major League Soccer. You know, when we got into the project of Inter Miami, we really did it with wanting, you know, to create a bigger platform for football in the soccer landscape in the United States of America. It's the largest commercial market in the world.
So that was Jorge Mas, the Inter Miami co-owner. It's kind of reminiscent of when Clive Toy and Phil Woosnam of this league called the NASL went around the globe chasing the great Pelé. And back then, players, you know, weren't migrating to other countries to play in different leagues. And, you know, Pelé played his entire career pretty much at Santos. Well, did play his entire career at Santos in Brazil and then with the New York Cosmos. But that was Jorge Mas. I want to do another soundbite here. Here's David Beckham. This is soundbite number 4 on bringing Messi to America.
You're talking about a player that has, you know, didn't just win the World Cup 5 years ago. He won the World Cup a year ago. You know, so to bring a player like that to now play in the MLS, to play for our team, you know, it's bigger than just, you know, winning trophies. It's inspiring the next generation. It's being able to leave a legacy in the game that we all love so much.
Beckham went on to talk about the global attention. And let's face it, when David Beckham came after Pelé, this led to a lot of things. More players coming to the country, the improved infrastructure, stadiums being built, expansion. You don't know what would have happened to Major League Soccer without David Beckham coming here with not only his playing ability, but his celebrity. So here's soundbite 7, getting MLS global attention.
You know, soccer is the biggest sport in the world. So, you know, to have people watching, to have 3.5 billion views the other night on the presentation, it's a huge thing. But it's also what we always set out to do. It's one of the things that I set out to do when I moved here in 2007, raise the profile of the league, raise the profile of the game. And it's a stepping stone. You know, 2007 was me, 2023 is Leo. But during that time, you know, the league, Don Garba, other owners have put so much investment into this sport and this league, you know, bringing the likes of Thierry Henry, bringing the likes of, you know, all the other great players that have come here, Zlatan, you know, those are big moments. And it takes investment from ownership to actually make a change. And that's what's happened.
So that leads to the question, do you think we're going to start seeing teams picking off some of these bigger names, not just the LAs, the New Yorks, but some of the other clubs in different parts of the country? Now, a lot of these foreign players, they want to play in New York, LA, they want the glitz. Miami is a good location. Now, who wants to go to Kansas City? I would if I had the, you know, you just have to find the right fit for each market. I think Hector Herrera is a great fit for the Houston Dynamo, and Ted Siegel and them making that move. It's a great fit. I do want to play this number 9 soundbite, and this is on the diversity of Miami, because this dovetails perfectly with Houston, Texas. Houston is incredibly diverse, incredibly prideful when we talk about this city as a soccer city. And you know, I said this the other day on a show. I was blown away once when an executive of the Dynamo years back, not a current executive, said to me, this isn't a soccer city. Now, of course, the person wasn't from here, but it absolutely blew me away. And Houston and Miami in some ways have some parallels when people talk about sports, you know? All right, here it is. Soundbite number 9 from David Beckham.
Well, I think, you know, Miami is such a diverse city. You know, and I think I've seen that. You know, the first time I stepped into, you know, into Miami to announce the team, you know, Venezuelans, Cubans, Argentinians, Brazilians, you know, Haitian. You know, I think that we have such a diverse culture, you know, and now we have one of the world's greatest players, if not the world's greatest player to ever play the game in our city, in our club. You know, that's attracted a huge attention around the world, and that's what we always wanted.
So what's the difference between that and Houston with Guatemalans, Salvadorians, Mexicans, Nigerians? We have our own makeup. I mean, we just saw Shell Energy Stadium absolutely packed with Guatemalans, prideful, diverse. Same thing, Salvadorians, prideful, diverse. So if you ever wanted prideful and diversity, boy, you certainly have it here in Houston, Texas. All right, another thing on Messi that jumped right to my mind was there are 6 fields, stadiums in MLS that are artificial surface. Mercedes in Atlanta. We're going to give the sponsors a shout out here. If any of them want to sponsor the show, we'll take it too. Gillette Stadium in New England, Portland Providence Park, Seattle Lumen, Charlotte Bank of America, and Vancouver BC Place. Is Lionel Messi going to play that many games on artificial surface? He's never played on artificial surface. So what's going to happen? Are these clubs going to bring in grass at an expense so that They can assure that he's going to play. Will he play on artificial surface? You've already had Garth Lagerwey of Atlanta coming out, you know, making sure that he's telling everybody, oh, this is top grade artificial surface and all that. This has always been an issue for MLS, and that is authenticity. Fake stuff is not authenticity. I know there's people out there, you know, who will disagree with me in every one of those markets, Atlanta, New England, Portland, Seattle, Charlotte, Vancouver. To be fully authentic, you have to play on grass, nature. So that's an interesting one. But Atlanta says they're not going to lay down grass for Messi. So we're going to see kind of how this is taken care of. We'll see. That also is something that's going to happen in World Cup 2026 in Houston. They got to get this right with the field and the playing surface because they've had struggles in the past. But Messi has never played on an artificial surface. That's what we are hearing. All right, Dynamo Santos, Leagues Cup, tomorrow night, Orlando City. They come off a big win in league play against Atlanta. They are a very diverse team, by the way, under Oscar Pereja. We'll be bringing you the call of that one right here on ESPN 97.5. We're going to do the same thing on Tuesday, Dynamo Santos Laguna. That's Leagues Cup. I'm expecting some of these games to be contentious. So let's transition a little bit into that. Let's get a soundbite from Ben Olsen here. And Olsen, the coach of the Houston Dynamo, on MLS versus Liga MX and this new tournament called the Leagues Cup, which basically is a World Cup-style tournament. You're going to play two games. And before we play his bite, I just want to clarify this to people. You got three teams in your group. You then advance to the knockout stage. It's much like a World Cup. This thing's going to be done in a month. Okay, there's no MLS going on right now, for those who don't know what this is about. This is basically pitting U.S. against Mexico and Canada. It's pitting MLS against Liga MX. It's trying to buy into all that great rivalry. If that still exists to the way it used to, is it still contentious? I think we're going to get a lot of contentious games. I think you got two leagues that want to win this thing. I think you'll see some teams maybe not take it as seriously as they should. They'll get eliminated. But I think if this is the first time you're taking this thing out of the blocks, you got to get the buy-in from all the clubs, all the teams playing in this. And you know, we're seeing the rosters come out. We are seeing some of the second team players on these rosters that are pretty extensive, which I think you would expect. But, you know, you get knocked out in the first round, you got a couple weeks where you got nothing to do until you get back into MLS play, right? So you got to have a contingency. And we'll ask Pat Onstad about that later on. The Dynamo GM will join us. That's 30 minutes of content for you, the Houston Dynamo fan. Okay, so let's go back to Ben Olsen. Here's Ben on Major League Soccer against Liga MX Leagues Cup.
Yeah, I guess in the macro, there is that element. I mean, look, I don't think anybody's under any illusions why this tournament was created, right? I think it's important, this rivalry or this connection or this relationship between Mexican soccer and U.S. soccer and CONCACAF is it's a wonderful relationship. At times, it's been contentious. It's, and over the last decade, it's been, you know, maybe less contentious and more players coming back and forth throughout the leagues. I think the league MLS has evened things out to a point where it's a very competitive relationship.
Okay, so there's Ben Olsen there, and you know, he went on to make a good point about the earlier years of it that was very contentious. We remember it with the Dynamo and a lot of the games over at Robertson Stadium. Those were great games. Those were games, I think, that earned MLS the respect of the Mexican fan. And the leagues are a lot closer now. I don't think there's any question. I think we know that. Here's Ben Olsen on their approach to the competition and building a winning culture.
Every team's going to be different in how they view this. Some of the expectations are to win this. You know, that'd be nice for us, but we'll focus here at Houston trying to get out of the group. We're building something here, and we want to create a winning culture. And part of creating a winning culture is every time you step on the field, no matter what, you put your best foot forward and try to get results. And you make that a norm within your organization. So we've done that with the Open Cup. We're hanging in there in the league, and we're putting ourselves in a spot where we're in and around the playoff line. Now this is just another opportunity to push this organization forward from my standpoint.
So there's Ben Olsen there. All right, so Dynamo currently ninth in that last playoff spot in the Western Conference. They're going to take a break now, and you're going to see teams come out of the League's Cup, and they may nosedive or they may accelerate based on what goes on in this League Cup. God forbid somebody key gets injured. God forbid. You know, in MLS, your DP gets injured, you're in a lot of trouble usually, depending on what team it is. All right, so let's go to Coco Karaskia. What a wonderful story this is. Gold ball winner in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Not a Mexican player who won the title. Coco Karaskia, Panama. Unbelievable honor. 24 years of age. Remember, he was brought here by Matt Jordan. That was one of his successes. And then the Dynamo exercised his loan agreement, and bought him full out. So he's got interest from Getafe, Rayo Vallecano, Club America, Brighton Hove Albion. That's what we hear. He was a comfortable golden ball winner in this tournament for Panama. So the role he played, so comfortable. Balancing, a link player, switching the point of attack, hit the game-winning penalty against the U.S., had another assist, a beautiful presence for Panama. Comfortable. Well-defined role. Now, with the Dynamo midfield, so strong with Hector Herrera and Artur, who's a natural six, he's the odd man out. He's been tried as a number 10. He's had to adapt. He's had to change his role. And frankly, as impressive as he always is jumping out of midfield and running with the ball, the higher up the field he is, the more diminished is his range of passing. And he's not a guy that has proven successful to lay on the final pass or be a goal scorer. And at times, he's almost a little chaotic on the Dynamo. So you can see the difference. And that's not to say he hasn't played well for the Dynamo. He is simply a guy that is so good at getting out of pressure when he's on the ball. That makes him very appealing as well. Now, Ben Olsen has been using him a bit as a hybrid, where he's a bit of a winger because he can penetrate. And he then comes inside next to Amin Bassi. But the range of passing gets lost the higher up the field he is. It's a distinctly different role with the Dynamo. He's got age, he's got ambition, he's got valuation. The Dynamo are going to want to get their money for this guy. He's technically gifted, he's powerful, explosive over a yard and a half. And like I said, he can jump into the attack. But he only did that sparingly with Panama. So it's two very differing roles for Coco Karaskia. And right now, he was voted the number one player in the Gold Cup. Phenomenal. And he's a great person, too. From what I see, this is a guy that simply has the eye of the tiger, focused, no problems off the field, family man. This guy's going places, no question. And we'll see what happens with Coco Karaskia. By the way, Dynamo not doing very well without him, results-wise. However you want to piss, you can talk data and all that stuff. They're not winning and getting results without Coco Karaskia. All right, we're going to take a break here. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, personal injury attorneys. John and his firm, presenting sponsor of this show for so long. I can't thank John and his firm enough. We really appreciate what he has done, keeping us on the air, keeping soccer talk going. You need a personal injury attorney, it's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now. Caller number 5 right now. Pair of tickets, Dynamo Santos.
You told me that you wish I was somebody you never met.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.